What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about the migrant influencer, and I gave credit where it is due. President Joe Biden creating an entirely new sector of the economy, right? Illegal aliens that get themselves free phones and a whole bunch of government handouts, and then they're able to not work except to be an influencer for other illegal aliens. So I will get to that because it ties into the issue of squatting, not like working out or going to the bathroom. No, this it means like stealing people's property, right? So so Florida banned it. So I'll get to that. Squatting, at least, not the migrant influencing. I don't know if you could actually ban the migrant influencing. So there is, but there's a related story here too, and I'm going to go down this path first, which is voting and non-citizens voting. And before you think, you know, oh, there's Pete, crazy right winger, he's election denialism or something. No. This is, I'm actually going to highlight some efforts that Democrats are taking on this issue. Right, so this is something that they have been lobbying for, which is to have non-citizens vote. And in some jurisdictions, actually, this has been going on for quite a while. Did you know that? Non-citizens have been voting in some jurisdictions for years. I mean, they're for local races and such, but yeah, for years. So this is from David Strom over at hotair.com. He says, as millions of illegal immigrants have been ushered into the country, cities around the U.S., have been simultaneously pushing for non-citizen voting. The two must be unrelated because all the best people tell us so, right? No, Pete, come on. This has nothing at all to do with immigration and voting. Voting has nothing to do with immigration. Immigration has nothing to do with voting. They are two separate, discrete issues. If we were to try to get Kamala Harris interested in the topic, we might draw some Venn diagrams, right? And in drawing said Venn diagrams, they would be two circles and they would not even overlap one bit. No overlappage at all because they're two separate issues, of course. In 2021, the New York City Council voted to allow non-citizens to vote in quote-unquote local elections. As if elections held without any voter ID would be secure from non-citizens voting in any race anyway. But most news reports on the law say that this law would only apply to green card holders. But if you look at what the city says, it also includes anybody with a work permit. A work permit. And if you have been paying attention to what's been going on at the border since 2021, when New York City Council adopted this law, well, you would know that many of the asylees, the refugees, the migrants, they have these work permits. They have been let into the country by the Biden administration, and they've been given the work permits. In fact, this was part of the big deal with the border bill, the very bad Biden border bill that was rejected over in the House. They wanted to expand this program for the work visas or the work permits. Democrats have demanded that work permits be made immediately available to all entrants. That was one of the demands. They wanted, rather than having to wait like 6 months or so, which Democrats argued was, you know, inhumane, inhospitable, and just inefficient. Because if you have all these people coming into the country and you prohibit them from working for 6 months, well, then they're just going to be wards of the state. And we all know Democrats do not want people to become wards of the government, right? They totally don't want people to be hooked on government programs and subsidies and vouchers and all this other stuff, right? They want people to bootstrap themselves up and to be independent, rugged individualism and such. It is what the Democrat Party espouses universally and has for decades. Right. So they're like, you got to give more work permits and you got to give them immediately when they get into the country, because otherwise who else is going to clean all of our mansions in Hollywood? And by the way, that is what they've been saying. That's not even like me like making a joke about how racist-y Democrats are in their arguments on illegal immigration. That is literally what they say. There was one 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I forget who it was. But it was a famous person. It was an actor of some. I forget who it was. But she said that very thing. So, which again, that's people pointed out like, oh, wow, look, it's, you know, Democrats trying to get free or cheap labor. That's very much on brand for Democrats. The party of slavery, right? Just going back to their roots. So they've been making this argument that we need to let people in and we need to give them their work permits and they need to be given the permits immediately so they can go work, so they won't, you know, be a drain on taxpayer funds. Of course, what it also means is that cities that have been passing these local bills, these local laws to allow for non-citizen voting, it now clears the path for them to vote because they've got a work permit. New York courts have struck down the law twice because it violates the state constitution. Leftist activists, well, are there any other kind of leftists? And the city council, though they are not deterred, the mayor and the city council have filed a notice to appeal to the state's highest court, which is the Court of Appeals, actually. Did you know that the Supreme Court in New York is not the Supreme Court? That's not the highest court. The Court of Appeals is the highest. Anyway, whatever. They're going to appeal to try to get this 2020 law that they passed granting municipal voting privileges to non-citizens with green cards or work authorizations. Okay, so there you go. Now, again, we're supposed to believe that this is completely discrete, a separate issue altogether from the illegal immigration issue, right? If there's any overlap, it's just completely unintentional, and it's very, very small if it even exists. And then when we do realize that it does exist and the overlap is not very small, I'm sure the leftists will then tell us why. Okay, fine, it is occurring, it does overlap, but here's why it's a good thing. Because that is generally the course that is taken on these types of issues. First, there is a denial that the thing is occurring. Then there is an admission that it is occurring, but it's really, really small. It's very limited. And then there's an admission that, okay, it is occurring. It may not be very small or limited, but here's why it's a good thing. Arguments, by the way, you can see this in voter ID arguments. You can see it in the transing of the children arguments as well. You could see it in the porn in the school libraries arguments. It's the standard. This is the standard course that left-wing arguments take. All right, so the city council, if they get their way, 800,000 new voters would be put on the rolls in New York City. That would radically change the voting population and perhaps the balance of power in the city of New York. Because, yes, there are actually still some Republicans in the city. I believe they call it Staten Island. Like, that's where the only Republicans. That's what, I don't know where else they exist inside inside New York City. But it is not absurd to imagine the council could still win in these cases either. A federal judge just threw out a lawsuit against non-citizen voting in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, which is very much on brand for America nowadays. Okay? Arguments that this is just about fairness and nothing to do with politics is just absurd. Illegal immigrants are included in the census. We've covered this many, many times over the last year or so. Their numbers are already used in redistricting, and that gives more power to blue states that have been losing population in the last few cycles, last few years. And that, in turn, not just shapes Congress, but it also shapes the Electoral College. See, so getting them to be counted in the census pads your numbers in the Congress, which also that is directly related to the number of Electoral College votes that your state gets. We have now 14 seats in North Carolina, we get 14 electoral college votes for those 14 seats. We also get two for the Senate seats each. So we have 16, I believe. That's how that works. So the more congressional seats you keep or gain, the more power you have to elect the president. That's the game.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Got a message here from the email. This is from Bill, who says, if we broke into Canada, they certainly wouldn't let us vote. Probably not, Bill. Yes, I agree. They probably would not. But I don't know. You never know. Those wacky Canadians, the silent invaders. You never know what the Canadians would let us do. So I'm not sure. Look, it's very clear that this is about building a new voter base and getting reelected for Democrats. That's the point here. Okay? It's to bring in lots and lots of people, keeping their congressional numbers stacked and packed, to pull some terms from the gerrymandering debate. You're going to pack a bunch of people into blue areas, right? And that's going to protect your state's number of congressional seats because it's based on the people, the population count, the number of people that are residing there, not citizens. Okay? That's what they had a big lawsuit fight over in the after the 2020 census or during the 2020 census, because they should only be counting U.S. citizens. But the courts apparently said, no, you got to be able to count residents. So if you can pile a bunch of people into your jurisdiction, then you get to keep your congressional seats. And that's how New York, I mean, look, New York lost one of its congressional seats to us, to North Carolina. And they only lost it by, I want to say it was about 100, it was like literally, it was like 100 people. That's how close the population counts were for them losing their seat. It's not that North Carolina has the same population as the state of New York. They have different populations, but when you divide out, it's like each congressional seat across the country has got to be like no more than, I think it's like 850,000 people. And so we were so close, who was going to get that seat? And we beat New York. And we beat them by like 100 voters, which, like I pointed out at the time, like, if Andrew Cuomo hadn't killed all of the old people during the pandemic by locking them in the nursing homes with the virus, then they probably would have kept one of their seat, that seat that we got from them. But alas, you know, he didn't. So we got the seat. But if you're able to bring in a million people that count towards your census numbers, but don't actually get to vote in the congressional or presidential elections, well, isn't that the best of both worlds, right? Because you get the numbers, but you don't have to worry about how they vote. That's why I call them the Democrat Party, because it's not really democratic. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen.
But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
Dr. Andy Jackson, writing over at johnlock.org, is making a pitch. I am on board with this idea to change the North Carolina state constitution. Only American citizens should be allowed to vote in North Carolina elections. That's what the amendment would say. There is a growing movement in America to allow non-citizens to vote. I mentioned New York City, right? Went over that. I also mentioned a federal judge in Washington, D.C. just threw out a lawsuit challenging a district law that allows non-citizens to vote in local elections. The judge ruled that the plaintiffs did not prove the law violates their rights. So non-citizens will be permitted to vote in local elections. They've been allowed to vote in school board races in New York City since the 1980s. Did you know that? I did not before I read this piece by Dr. Jackson. New York is hardly alone, he says. As part of a current small but growing movement, the Vermont legislature overrode the governor's veto to permit non-citizen voting in local elections last year. Non-citizens are also allowed to vote in some elections in Maryland and in California. Momentum is gaining for a broader push to allow non-citizens to vote. You know who else is involved in this movement? Why, it's the defender of democracy, Mark Elias. Mark Elias. I know it's a different pronunciation. It's from the old world, but no. This is Mark Elias, the guy who was the cutout, right, between the Hillary campaign and Steele dossier and the Russia collusion hoax, right? He was the lawyer that helped make that happen. He also sues North Carolina like all the time over every single election integrity law. He just really hates every election integrity law. He sues over redistricting. He is part of, he is sort of the spear tip of, or the tip of the spear, I should say, of the lawfare efforts that the left uses to get done with, in a court, that which they cannot get done legislatively. So he is on board with this effort because, of course, he is. His democracy ducat wrote positively about the New York ordinance for non-citizen voting. He called it a move to, quote, expand voting rights and include more people in the political process. Right. See, that's it. You never question whether they should. Right. To quote Jeff Goldblum in the documentary Jurassic Park. Right. You spent so much time trying to see if you could. You never questioned whether you should. There's never any question here about whether people should be permitted to vote in elections if they're not citizens. Right. But this is, again, this is what the Democrats think in terms of, it's like, oh, well, you're here, so you should get to vote. They say it with college kids who are just, you know, traveling into town for, 8 months out of the year. And so, well, you know what? You're here. You should get to vote. And you know what? We're not even going to check to see if you voted in the hometown from which you came. Well, just take your word for it. Oh, by the way, can you sign up to vote here? Let's register you. All right. And then we're going to turn you out. We're going to get you to go knock on doors and stuff here in this town that you don't actually live in. You're just hanging out in a dorm room for, 8 months out of the year. So, good enough for us. You should dictate how the residents' tax money gets spent. To me, this is so absurd. The fact that college kids get to vote where they go to school and not the place to which they intend to return. And I dealt with this personally, by the way. When I was a college kid in South Carolina, I went to Winthrop University. I could not vote in Rock Hill, South Carolina until I was a legal resident of the city, of the state. And in order to do that, that meant I could not be claimed as a dependent by mom and dad. Very clear. Okay. This is back to Andy Jackson's piece here, talking about Mark Elias, Democracy Docket. Their embrace of non-citizen suffrage, which means voting, suggests that it could be something Mark Elias and his allies will eventually push nationwide. CNN, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, they have all recently argued for granting non-citizens the right to vote. There is some good news, though. Some states are already explicitly banning this. I would advise North Carolina's Republican supermajorities to do the same, by the way. That's me saying that, not, although I think Andy would agree. North Carolina lawmakers should move to do this in the short session. Get us a constitutional amendment on the ballot to let voters say whether we want to allow non-citizens to vote in elections. North Dakota citizens were asked this question, and they approved a citizen-only voting amendment. They did so back in 2018. Alabama, Colorado, and Florida voters have all passed constitutional amendments explicitly banning non-citizen voting in 2020. The votes, the average support in these votes have been about 2-1 in favor, by the way. So this is a popular thing, 2-1. Before then, only Arizona's constitution explicitly limited voting rights to U.S. citizens. North Carolina should join these states. Let's go over here to get Ralph on the program. Hello, Ralph. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete. I want to take a line out of Ronald Reagan, strength through power. As an independent, and I'm asking the Republicans to join in, we must combat this non-citizens voting in our elections, exactly as you say, to determine, how our tax money's spent. But, with the Democrats, and I hate to say it, you can't fix stupid. And so with that being said, it's going to come down. I mean, if this Marcus keeps throwing these suits before the court and trying to water our integrity of the election down, fisticuffs.
I'm sorry, what you said, what if these lawsuits keep getting thrown before the court?
Fisticuffs. As a bar bouncer, you should know.
Oh,
about
fisticuffs. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. No, your signal dropped out when you said it. So fisticuffs, yes. I am aware of the practice as well as the word. So I have to disagree with you on one point. I don't think you hate to say that. You said you hate to say it, that you can't fix stupid. I don't believe that that's the case. I think you do like to say that.
Well, I say 1 or 2% of the elite, you're not going to be able. I mean, basically, we could go talk to a brick wall on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And get a better response from the brick wall than we could from these elitists. And people like Mark Elias coming into states he doesn't even live in,
mm-hmm,
dictating our tax dollars. I'm infuriated with him.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to keep on pounding, my friend.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the call, Ralph. It's exactly right. I think this is something that states need to do. They need to get in front of this now before you start having these local issues that get run in cities that are done by like a state like North Carolina. You got a blue city and a red state, and you're going to have city councils like Charlotte City Council, like Asheville, like Raleigh, Durham, right? These cities, they're going to start running these bills. Of course they are. Of course they are. Because they want to harness those votes. They want to harness that power and then, release the voters, and turn them into activists and release them into campaigns, get them volunteering. Right. That's the whole point, is to increase the numbers. This is all part of a very intentional strategy. Right. This is not separate from the illegal immigration issue. All righty, so back to Andy Jackson's piece at johnlock.org. And Article 6, Section 1 of the North Carolina Constitution states, quote,
Every person born in the United States and every person who has been naturalized, 18 years of age, and possessing the qualifications set out in this article, shall be entitled to vote at any election by the people of the state except as herein otherwise provided. Okay, so basically, every citizen of the United States and only a citizen of the United States should be allowed to vote. That's what the Constitution should state, okay? That's what it needs to be changed to. That's what voters should be asked, whether to amend the state constitution to change the language. So instead of saying every person born in the U.S. and every person who has been naturalized, because, by the way, it leaves out somebody who was an American citizen who was born overseas. So you just say every citizen of the U.S. and only a citizen of the United States. So no dual citizenship either, right? Gets rid of that loophole. Whether non-citizens can vote in our elections is fundamental to how our republic works, he says. Its importance rises to the point where it should be a part of our state's foundational document. The proper route for immigrants to gain voting rights is through naturalization. This was an argument made in court filings by the Alabama Secretary of State, John Merrill, who said nationalized citizens must take an oath to the U.S. Constitution, and they have shown that they are dedicated to learning our institutions, laws, and political culture. The naturalization process serves as an essential shared experience for millions of past and present immigrants to the U.S. In comparison, non-citizens do not have this same shared experience, nor have they shown the same verifiable degree of dedication to understanding and joining our national community. Yeah. Also, statutory limits. If you just pass a law that says this and it's not in the Constitution, right, a statutory limit is subject to change. Democrats take control of the General Assembly, right? They get a majority, even if it's temporary, they can make a change to the laws. Undo stuff, rewrite stuff. Like those in New York City, future politicians in North Carolina could see granting non-citizens the right to vote as a way to, quote, reshape local politics forever. Because that's what they're saying explicitly in New York City. Okay? So, New York, in its state constitution, says every citizen shall be entitled to vote. But because it doesn't explicitly say, it doesn't limit that right to only citizens, right? The politicians in the city are trying to grant voting rights to non-citizens. So they need to tidy this up, right? Lock this down, make it very explicit, and put it up for a vote to the people and let us decide. That's democracy. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.